Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's going to feel like summer in Atlanta today. Welcome to it. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in, sinkholes and all. Yeah, there's a big old sinkhole, I guess, down on 285 on the south side near Old National Highway. Or so I'm told. And you know me, Hugh. Weather and traffic, that would be right. I missed my calling in life. I should have been weather and traffic on the sixes.
That's like the second sinkhole in like a year here. Because it was one off of 20.
Mm-hmm.
One off of 20, there was a sinkhole. So, yeah, that's kind of weird.
Like turning into Florida without the weirdo. You know what I mean? Ah. All right, settling into the chair this morning. Oh, do we have a lot to talk about. Yeah. Atlanta's reacting to that little piece of news yesterday, that shocking piece of news about Matt Bryant. This is going to be...
good morning, Atlanta, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? Hope everybody's having a wonderful start to their day. It's going to be an awesome day.
Well, it's going to be 80 today. 80.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty warm.
80 degrees. And then the weatherman, I heard the weatherman say 44 on Sunday.
It's hot in here. It feel like 80, about like 80 up in here.
Yeah, it did a little warming, yeah.
Man, that hot.
Well, you could, dude, we're sitting here on February the 7th saying, turn the AC on.
See, that's the confusing thing about living here in Georgia, which I do not mind. I mean, I'll take this in February. I'll take this all day. Over the alternative, you know, like what? It's some places still dealing with the polar vortex stuff? Still dealing with that. In Detroit, yeah, I'm good. I'll take this all day. I saw some people. I was looking at some of the pictures from the parade in Boston.
You mean like the fights and stuff?
No, John, that too. Yeah. But I was looking at the fact that there were some people trying to run across the little frozen lakes.
Oh.
Running across.
Right.
Like, because they're so excited about the parade, they're like running across the little lakes and stuff. One lady fell in. She was all right, though. She wasn't like she was. I don't think the water was that deep, but she fell in. She fell in. And I was like, wow, that's really stupid of you. But you know what? Hey, to each his own. Hey, live your best life. You know what I mean? I mean, go for it.
Yeah, what about those fights? Man, they were throwing down at Boston, huh?
Yeah, I saw a few of those, too. Man. I saw a few of those.
You guys don't need to win no more titles up there if that's what you're going to do. I mean, if you're going to just, you know, have all-out haymaker brawls because you won a championship, you know what? I think you're done for a while. Let's put like a 20-year moratorium on you guys. You know, you've won enough. 12 titles in 17 years. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just, another title. We have to have something to make it interesting, I guess.
I would like to see how that feels, to be tired of going to parades. I would. That's a feeling that I wouldn't mind having. How does it feel to be tired of going to championship parades? How does it feel to be tired to pick out which jersey you're going to wear to the championship parade this week? I don't know.
World Series and Super Bowl back-to-back, right?
Or in Gronk's case, mm-hmm. Just take his shirts off.
He took his shirt off?
Again.
Well, of course he did.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You think he'd go to the WWE? I know that's over here, but you brought him up. There's some people think that Gronk is going to sign a deal. He's going to retire from football and sign a deal with WWE.
He's tailor-made for it.
Yep. Yeah, all right, that's over there. It is a big day of big news, and a lot of it mostly centered on the Falcons and some of their player personnel decisions, and it will be one of the big pieces of talking points today about Matt Bryant and Brooks Reed. And now, the Falcons haven't made that official, but it's really official because Brooks kind of went out there and said, guess what? I'm gone. So that'll be three so far. Robert Alford, Matt Bryant, and Brooks Reed. And the reaction to Matt Bryant is this, what everybody says. You know, what? I mean, Hugh, what?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised from the fact that you're going to have to trim the fat. You're trimming the fat. This is what happens when you pay your stars. And this is the thing that fans need to understand. You're at a, like, not getting on you. Not, this is not me browbeating you, but this is me trying to put it in a perspective that you might be able to understand a little bit better. You say you're the same fan that says we got to pay Julio. You're right. You got to pay Julio. You got to pay Grady Jarrett. Okay, where is that coming from? You have to look at your roster realistically, and the first guys that go are the guys that did not contribute that much, or the guys that you could look at and say, hey, I could get that same kind of play from somebody who's a little bit cheaper. That's what you get with Matt Bryant. Matt Bryant was going to get – he had like $7 million left on his deal, $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
You get – he's been hurt. He, even though, granted, he came back and he kicked well. Clutch kicker. But you got Giorgio DiVecchio comes in, and you look at him, what he's making, what, $600,000? He made like $600,000 compared to $7 million? I mean, come on. I mean, this is the part of the NFL where fans need to understand. They need to understand that. I'm not a numbers guy, but that's simple math right there. DiVecchio is much cheaper and he's much younger. Matt Bryant, I will say he's definitely an all-time Falcon, no question about that. And I know people are mad about it, but this is the nature of the beast. Matt Bryant's going to land on his feet. He's going to go somewhere and he's going to get a job. Not going to be making $7 million. Not at 44, but he's going to get a job.
Well, Matt Bryant is, you know, my only thing is that, you know, certainly we're going to miss Matt Bryant, and we wish him, you know, he and his family all the best. And I just hope he goes someplace where the Falcons never have to face him, because that would not be, because you know that if they face him and there's a game-winning field goal on the line, he's going to make it. That is a given that he's going to do that. And it was the day before yesterday, he says, you know, I'm in the best shape of my life. You know, he's battled through some injuries. We know about Hugh. You and I talked to him, probably about 3 or 4 years ago when he had that quad injury. And then
in the locker room.
Right in the locker room. And then, you know, last year, obviously, battled through some injuries after that. He made that, 57-yarder against Tampa. And so he's battled through a few injuries, but he declared himself in the best shape that he's been in, that he was ready to go, and then they turn around 24 hours later, and the Falcons up and cut him. And it was like, well, okay. And the reaction has been swift and not good, because if there was one thing you could count on with the Atlanta Falcons, it was Matt Bryant. I understand it's a money issue, but you know what? There are a lot of places I could have saved money, not called Matt Bryant.
Who would you rather want? Grady Jarrett, Julio Jones,
maybe
or Matt Bryant?
Look, you could have cut Matt Schaub, right?
Who would you rather have, John?
Well, I don't think that's the choice, Hugh.
It is exactly the choice. They've already told you that. Who'd you rather have?
Well, I think you could have cut Matt Schaub. That would have saved you the same amount of money as Matt Bryant.
You need a backup quarterback.
Fine, but I'm saying I would have preferred that. I just think that this guy has been the catalyst and the MVP of your team, the rock of this offense, that to the point where all your decisions in the red zone have been based on the fact that you know you're so reliable with Matt Bryant that your offense runs through. Where do we have to get to for Matt Bryant? And okay, now we've got the field goal. Now what?
Okay, so with all that being said, John, he still only accounts for what? At the most, 3 points. At the most. When you're talking about a guy in Matt Schaub who could come in and win you a football game, you're talking about at another position that can come in and say, like Grady Jarrett, come in and get you a couple sacks to help win you the game. I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but you're not being realistic and practical in this situation. That's 3 points. No matter how you slice that piece of pie, no matter how clutch it is, that's only 3 points in a football game at the most. And this is not me. Listen, I'm not hating on Matt Bryant, but this is the reality of the NFL. Matt Bryant's 43 years old, about to be 44. And you're talking about a kicker that's making $7 million.
Four, by the way.
Okay, $7 million left total on his contract.
Okay, right.
$7 million left total on his contract. That's a lot of – you're saving, what, almost $3 million right there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay your starters. Matt Bryant's not a starter. He is not a starter. And, again, this is not me hating on Matt Bryant. This is me being real. This is me being realistic in this situation. Matt Bryant accounts for 3 points at any time during a football game.
I understand that, but I also know that 3 points can make the difference for you.
Ask it can.
Ask the Bears.
It can make a difference for you, John. But are you willing to pay $7 million for a guy, and you got a guy, Giorgio Tavecchio, that can do the same thing for half the money, or even more than half the money?
If Giorgio – well, no, that's what they're counting on. I mean, I get you. My answer is, do I have faith that Giorgio Tavecchio is Matt Bryant? The answer is no.
You had faith in him when he was kicking when Matt Bryant was out, though.
Well, I know. I was saying I was impressed with him.
Okay, so that, but yeah, so
let's
so
see what he can do,
you,
I guess.
And,
right?
And you know what's funny, John? When Giorgio Tavecchio kicked, I remember having this conversation with you, and they kept him. I kind of told you this was probably going to come. I even remember saying that on the air, that this is probably the decision that this decision for Matt Bryant to be gone has been this was made a long time ago.
Oh no, this is their decision. Look, I take nothing away from it, Hugh. I mean,
I'm saying this was made a long time when they decided to keep Giorgio Tavecchio.
Yes,
they made that decision.
Right. They probably true. Yes, and at the same time, it's still a high risk decision. I mean, and we'll see how it works out. I mean. Yeah, again, this is part of the big bold moves they're making. I understand it, but it's not going to be a popular move, and it's not a popular move because he is a popular guy and he's a tremendously good kicker. And you change kickers. Look, what happened to Tampa when they changed with Matt Bryant? They didn't want to pay Matt Bryant $1 million a year then, and now look what they've
gone
through.
Matt Bryant is clutch, no question about that. Listen, Matt Bryant is he when you talk about historic runs in the NFL. 43-year-old kicker doing what he's been able to do at a high level for as many years, salute to him. But the one thing that's true about anybody that plays this game, you can't outrun Father Time. And when you become a veteran and you become a vested veteran like he is, you're going to get a certain amount of money regardless to where you go. It's teams are going to look at that, mm-hmm. and that might be an issue. Matt Bryant's probably looking at least, as a kicker, what he played, 19 years, something like that? He's going to be looking at probably about $1.5 million a year easily. And teams are going to look at that and say, okay, he's a good kicker, but I can save money by going to get somebody who's probably a lesser kicker. I can save $500,000 and I can go sign another quality player.
Cut your nose off to spite your face.
But John, that's the way the business goes. That's how it goes in life. Think about it. Anywhere that you go, the dudes that make the most money, the guy, especially if you're in a company, a corporate setting, the ones that make the most money are the ones that get let go first. That's the way it works. Just the way it works.
I'll tell you, and this will be one of the conversations we have all day, and it's going to be because a lot of fans, you never would have thought that a place kicker, because he's so popular, would have engendered the kind of reaction that Matt Bryant is. And you know, my part of it is I like him so much.
I like him too.
I'm going to miss him in that locker room. But I will say that it's interesting. The reaction was not good.
No, it wasn't. And people were on the internet and they were going crazy. I get that. I understand that. And this is me. I know you're probably mad at me for putting in perspective like I am, but this is the nature of the beast. Been through it. Seen it happen on more than one occasion. Especially when this is what happens when your players outplay their contracts and you want to keep them. Grady Jarrett is going to get paid. You need to clear cap space to pay Grady Jarrett. You still have to pay Julio. You're going to have to pay your first-round draft pick. You're going to need to clear cap space. We don't know what the cap's going to be, but the Falcons like to operate in the black. They never like operating in the red, and they're not going to do that. Before you let go, D? Really?
Are the Falcons making the right moves? It'll be one of the big questions on the morning show today. Robert Alford, Matt Bryant, Brooks Reed. First the coaches, now the players. We knew there were going to be big, bold moves, right? But to Matt, buddy, I salute you. What a job you did for us. I'm going to miss you a lot, too. So I'm in my feelings about that. All right. Other headlines and more on Matt Bryant as we continue next on a very busy, important, impactful day with John and you on the morning show.
Now at Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of reaction to Matt Bryant's being released by the Atlanta Falcons. And yes, of course it's a money issue. I just got somebody ask me, isn't this a money issue? Yes, it's a money issue. I get it. At the same time, doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. I mean, Giorgio. Hey, listen, I like Giorgio. He's a nice guy. He's a very quotable, interesting character, and he's got big shoes to fill.
You better like him a lot more because that's going to be your kicker.
He is going to be our kicker.
Playing. Yeah.
And Matt Bryant will light somewhere, and he's going to go into Falcons lore. And, of course, you would think into the Falcons Hall of Fame and the Ring of Honor at some point in his life, but just to kind of, you know, difficult to work through. This is what happens. I mean, again, this is stage two of the four stages that we talked about with the Atlanta Falcons, and welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. Stage two of stage four, Hugh. Stage one, you got rid of all the coaches. You got your coordinator in Sark, your coordinator in Manuel, your coordinator in Armstrong. Now you're going through the roster. Robert Alford, Matt Bryant.
Guys that underachieved.
Brooks Reed.
And he's not one of them, but it's a way to trim the fat. I mean, because I'm pretty sure that Coach Quinn and those guys up there at Flowery Branch right now still evaluating, you know, grade outs. They're evaluating grades from the season and everything like that. This is not it. You're going to have to. They want to operate from the black. And they're going to get some new players in here. So they're going to – it's going to probably be some more moves that are made.
Oh, I have you cannot, doubt of that.
You cannot keep this roster the same with the performance that you had last year. Right. You just can't.
And we're working through right. The big – Thomas Dimitroff promised. Hugh, he promised both of us multiple times on the phone and in person big, bold moves. And they're going to make big, bold – and boy, have they made big, bold moves. And they're not done yet. And they're going to be restructuring guys. They'll be cutting other guys. And then they're going to go into free agency and into the draft. And so, yes, they're going to be big. They are not sitting back. Well, look at it from – and I'll try and, you know, step back from my personal feelings here and look at it from their perspective. I am sure that Thomas and Dan Quinn have been told do or die. So they're not going to – they're not about to sit around here.
You know what, John? You don't have to be told that. That's a given. That's a given. When you look at the lofty expectations that this team has had over the years, well, last year especially – and you look at the moves that the coach has made, that's a given. That's something that's one of those things. When you walk into Flowery Branch, you walk into those offices, that's nothing that needs to be discussed because that's what it is. Coach Quinn has set the bar high for himself and his coaching staff. That's obvious and evident by the moves that he's made. He's cut folks. He's probably put other people on notice. And he's looking at it like, listen, we have to do better. He's looking at that roster like, listen, we have a championship roster. We need to do better. So, yeah, he's on the clock as well. Everybody's on the clock over there.
Certainly a talking point throughout the day. There are other big headlines that we need to get to this morning, and we will get back. And so we'll circle back to this Falcons discussion, don't worry. National Signing Day came and went yesterday. Georgia won big again. You, the Georgia Bulldogs won big again. So big that they had, again, the number one class in America, according to Rivals. Now, again, I always want to say as we discuss National Signing Day today, you are free to go to whatever site you choose to go to, okay? You can go to Yahoo and Bleacher Report or CBS or ESPN or the Scout or 24/7 or where, I don't care where you go. I am a Rivals guy. I've always been a Rivals guy. I've been a Rivals guy since Rivals first came on the scene, you know, two decades and plus ago. So a Rivals headline this morning, Georgia seizes the day, wins second straight recruiting title. They edge out Alabama. And this is what the rival said to you. Kirby Smart has done it again, beat his mentor Nick Saban, pushed ahead of Alabama to win the recruiting title. The job they have done in stepping up from Mark Richt has been nothing less than amazing. They have turned into a recruiting juggernaut and can now recruit any player in any state in the country. That's pretty strong.
Yeah. The thing that I pulled from this was that UGA signed 22 players early, but 14 are on campus. I think that's important, especially when you're talking about trying to make a run for a national title, that you have these young players, these young men on campus that you're going to be relying on during the season that are going to get there a little bit early so that they can get acclimated to the way that you do things and get ready to try to get the game plan in or the playbook in as early as possible.
Yep, and so and to the point about recruiting any player in any state, just looking at Georgia's recruit list, commitment list to you, they have 4 and 5 stars, four star or better athletes, right? From Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, Kansas, and Michigan. Again, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, Kansas, and Michigan. That's going out there to get players all over the country and bringing them into Georgia. And they had the biggest win in the entire nation yesterday. The biggest win in the recruiting wars in the entire nation yesterday was Georgia's win over Auburn. 5-star wide receiver George Pickens flipped from Auburn to Georgia. And so this is what George Pickett said about signing with the Dogs.
It's been a very long process, first off. And it's very, like I said, it's been very difficult. And it's just been all the schools that I've always visited. It's just picking up different type of vibes that I kind of get from Hoover. And that's what Georgia kind of gave me, a winning program. They always work hard. They're going to do it the right way. And that's what was instilled in me. So I feel like Georgia was the right place.
Yeah, well, yeah. So this is George Pickens. He comes out of Hoover, Alabama, suburb of Birmingham. He flips to Georgia from Auburn. The Dogs get 3 5-star players. They get Nolan Smith, who's the number 2 player in the nation, a linebacker out of Florida. But, Hugh, the other 2 5-star players are Clay Webb, an offensive lineman, right, and George Pickens, a wide receiver, who were the top 2 players in the state of Alabama. They got the top 2 players in the state of Alabama to leave not Alabama and come to Georgia.
That's very impressive, especially when you look at what Alabama has represented and what they represented last year in the national title game. But now it's time for with these 2 number 1 recruiting classes that they've had back to back. Now it's time to reap those benefits from it, John. It really is, and I know that Georgia fans are looking at it like that, because when you get excited about a recruiting class like you do like this, then people automatically equate that in my mind to a national title. So you got to get it done, especially when you're talking about flipping some 5-star recruits from Alabama to Georgia. You have to get it done, and people are going to be looking at you to get it done this year.
You know, and then they get the number 1 defensive end in the nation in Nolan Smith. Remember the pass rush issue last year for Georgia? Non-existent, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get the number 1 defensive end in the nation in Nolan Smith, and they get the number 1 that high school, the number 1 junior college defensive end of the nation in Jermaine Johnson. So they get the number 1 JUCO defensive end and the number 1 high school defensive end. That's solving a if they are that, that solves that issue pretty quick. It's addressing a need, I would say. You go out and get the number 1 guys at the position.
Yeah,
man.
And I'll tell you what, playing defensive end on a college level is probably one of the easiest things you could do, because you can play Sikkim defense for a while until you actually learn what they're trying to get you to do, you know. But the only drawback to that is, like, coming into the game, that they kind of know if you're not a every down player, they kind of know what you're coming in for.
By the way, Georgia Tech had a good job by Jeff Collins. We'll talk more about the Jackets. They were able to flip a guy late. They win on a star running back from the Rome Wolves in Jameis Griffin, who goes away from Auburn, again, another away from Florida State, and yesterday decides to go to Georgia Tech. And Jameis Griffin, 4-star running back out of Rome. One thing Georgia Tech did under – everybody likes to get on Georgia Tech, you know. But here's what the new coach, Jeff Collins, did. He gets the one of the top running backs in the state to flip from Rome, from state champions up there in Rome, right, 4-star guy. He gets the 4-star quarterback from the state champion in Milton and Jordan Yates. So you don't tell me that Georgia Tech can't get local kids, all right? That's all I'm saying. You get the state-winning 7A quarterback from Milton, 4-star kid to go to Georgia Tech. You get the Rome, which is a powerhouse high school football program, star running back in Jameis Griffin to go to Georgia Tech. And so, and both 4-star players, yeah, you can get local kids. You just got to recruit them hard. That's all. So big wins for Jeff Collins, too, in terms of recruiting for Georgia Tech.
Can't wait to see them in spring ball. T-Day,
yeah.
GT-Day.
Yeah, because those two guys could play right away.
Potentially.
Yeah, because, you know, quarterback is a wide-open spot under this new offense. So you mentioned, a lot going on. Falcons are big news. National Signing Day is big news. We'll get into that. NBA trade deadline is at 3 o'clock today. As we sit here at 6:30 in the morning, Anthony Davis is still in New Orleans.
He probably will be.
Or wherever the Pelicans are at the moment. Why did you give it down? I thought you didn't want to give – you're a Lakers fan, D.
I don't want him. Not a dead account. Don't mortgage the team away for this, gentleman. Not right now. Then you're behind the eight ball again. Because yeah, now you have to get these stragglers.
Yeah, it is one of those things that's kind of interesting, because, you know, you're talking about the young players that you had on the team and how they were gelling together. And then mortgage your whole team out for, what, 2 guys? And then say you're going to make a playoff run with one guy who's only going to probably be there for, what, 18 months?
Is this part – you know, I wondered about this, Hugh, and you could probably tell me. Is this part – you know, LeBron, you talk about father time. LeBron is 34, but he's played enough basketball to be 37, right? I mean, he's played so much more basketball than anybody else. Is LeBron sitting around thinking, I'm not sure how much time I have left to try to win a title here, and feels like they can't – he can't sit around and wait for players to develop?
I don't know. I don't know. I think LeBron feels like he's in the prime of his career. I think this is the most that he's ever had. This is the first time he's ever had a major setback of this caliber ever in his career, I do believe. So I don't know if he's sitting around thinking about that just yet. I still think that he feels that he's on the top of his game. I think the Lakers are probably looking at it like if they get Anthony Davis, they're looking at a 2-year window as far as making a playoff run, I would assume. Especially if you're mortgaging all those people and you're thinking about, what do they call it, friend of baller or something, where they got guys to come to the team because you're there. And I was listening to something the other day that said, like, next season, there's going to be, like, what, 40% of the NBA AT? That's going to be free agents? They say a record number of free agents are going to be in the NBA next year, like 40%. So you're looking at, like, if you get Anthony Davis, you can get a couple key guys and make a run next year.
We told you it's a busy day. A lot to chew on throughout the morning show. Falcons NBA trade deadline, where the Hawks make a move today. Hawks are playing Kawhi tonight at home. Tickets are still available at Hawks.com. Next up, our first run through the Wendy Zone with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, guys, this is essentially your warning that you have 1 week until Valentine's Day. Ladies, this goes for you as well. And I'm going to get through this whole article that was put out by the AP before you guys comment. Because if you had to grade the level of effort your partner puts into Valentine's Day, these are the results according to a new survey. Well, only 15% of people in the new survey gave their partner an A for effort when it comes to Valentine's Day. 6% gave them a B, 10% said a C, 11% said D. And 58% of people gave their partner an F when it comes to effort put into Valentine's Day. Now, a lot of people say they don't really want anything for Valentine's Day, but here is the top 10. So it doesn't take a lot of effort, guys. These are what people want for Valentine's Day. So at number one, a nice dinner out. 50% of people say that's a great gift to get for Valentine's Day. That's followed by chocolate, flowers, a massage, a home-cooked meal, jewelry, a trip. Comes in at number 7, a spa package at number 8, number 9, a night or two at a local hotel, and number 10, tickets to a comedy show. So very simple ideas, but it's just the effort that our partners want for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I get an F. I admit it.
Am I allowed to respond now?
No, you can respond, Hugh.
That's a lot of effort. Like, everything that you put on that list is a lot of effort because most of the time, a nice dinner, you had to make reservations. And right now, it's hard to find reservations for Valentine's Day anywhere.
Well, that's why you think beforehand. Like,
most guys don't think like that. We kind of live in the now. I mean, listen, it could happen, but you're going to pay through the nose for that as far as a trip. Really, a trip?
Well, that came in at number 7. So that was only 30. That was 31%.
A massage is probably doable. That's easy.
Flowers came in at number 3. Chocolate was number 2.
Most women that I know don't want flowers or chocolate anymore. That's too cliche. That is like a little bit too cliche.
Yeah, plus the moment you get chocolates is, are you trying to tell me something? You know?
And I tell you what, most women nowadays
are with some demanding people. I just don't understand.
But I will say this. Women equate effort differently than guys do.
And like, different women equate the effort.
I'm not putting you in a box. I'm not trying to put you in a box. That's not what I'm doing. But what I'm saying is most women, when your definition of effort is probably different than hers. And that's where the problem lies, because your definition of effort is different than he is. And if you don't speak the same love language, then that's the problem. That's the biggest issue. And I think that most times women should be a little bit more open-minded on Valentine's Day, because most women get into the situation or get into the mindset that it's like a competition, because your girlfriend might get this for Valentine's Day and you get that. And if it's not the same, then you mad at him because he didn't put that much effort into it. That's where the problem lies to me, because it's a competition. Because we've seen all the time, women sit around and say, oh, what your guy do for you? Oh, he bought me a car. Oh, my guy took me to the spa. He bought me a bottle of champagne, and you're looking like, well, this cat right here, he didn't even do half that for me.
I think that's half the story. The other half of the story is the married wife for a long time who says to the husband, you know, when we were dating, that was a big thing. Now I have Valentine's Day, and not a big deal anymore. And if your wife is telling you Valentine's Day, not a big deal anymore, if you've heard, yeah, it's not that big a deal, don't worry about it. I mean, oh, you better worry about it. Because the second that you go, wait a second, you said it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, it's not. See, because they talk with mixed messages.
Right.
Hey, it's not that big
a
deal.
Not that big
well, damn, you couldn't put no more. You couldn't put more effort into it than that.
Well, I just think it's a human response, whether it's man or woman, that everyone wants to be acknowledged. I mean, you want to be acknowledged sometimes, and I think Valentine's Day is just the next.
You know how I hate Valentine's Day. This is where I
say we differ. You want to acknowledge me? Make me a sandwich. That's the best acknowledgement that you could give to me.
Well,
go out of your way and make.
Make me food. How about make me food?
Make me a sandwich.
Make me food.
What's the difference between a sandwich and food?
Make me food.
It's not the way. You're taking it the wrong way.
But a lot of people will. That's why I said, just make food.
No, but what I'm saying is this. If you want me to feel special, do that for me. Get me a pack of gum. How about that? Is that better?
We're a week away from Valentine's. Is that right?
Yes, we're one week away.
So I'm supposed to wait till next week to tell my wife I love her because I need a day. I need somebody to tell me.
I think that's a little extreme.
John, really? You need to tell your wife today that you love her. Oh, geez, I forgot.
No,
and
it's
the only
just
reason
an extra
why
day of acknowledgement. No one's saying don't do it the other 364 days.
And
the only reason why
I'm on this soapbox by myself is because other guys are not going to complain about this because they don't want to hear their other significant other's mouth about this whole situation. That's the truth. Most guys will go out and do what they know is going to keep their significant other from giving them grief.
That is true. Because
that's how most guys that I told you say, hey, man, I'm going to go ahead and do this, so I just don't want to hear a mouth. Because I know if I don't do it this way, it's going
to
be a problem.
Then that's not done in love. Isn't it supposed to
no,
be?
It's done. No, it's happy. You ever heard that the story, Happy Wife, Happy Life?
Yeah.
You don't think that's true?
Of course it is. I'm divorced now because of that.
Most guys, and if you ask any man that's married, they will tell you, to be real talk, that the reason why their marriage works because he doesn't argue as much as he used to, or he just says, you know what, whatever you say. That's the truth. John Freaky. Can I get amen on this? Because you do it all the time. You got two cats.
Well,
Now, you wanted a dog.
Yes.
You wanted a dog. You got two cats. You ain't had nothing to do with that because you just said okay. You didn't even get to watch TV the way you want to.
I want her to be happy.
Tell them what it is, John.
But here's the thing. You know, it's what's important to you. I mean, whether we have cats or dogs or
peace of mind is important. Right. You wanted a dog, but you got a cat. So you just said, hey, whatever.
I'll get my dog at some point.
Yeah, whatever. When you get a divorce, and that ain't about to happen.
He's not getting no divorce.
That's what I'm saying. It ain't about to happen, so he ain't getting no dog.
Yeah.
You get a dog? You go to, like, one of these apps on your phone and get one of them. remember they used to have them Tamagotchis back in the day?
Hugh, sometimes when you're in love, you want to do nice things for the person that you're with.
But that has to be both ways.
It has to be both ways.
It has to be. But it's not always.
It's not.
As a whole, it's not always.
Everybody wants to be acknowledged, at least in a relationship.
But as a whole, it is not always. It's not. We're not saying you, but as a whole, it is not always shared like that.
It's not. It's not. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I get on here and I kill your idea of love, but it is what it is. I'm telling you, it is.
There is pressure, Wendy, on single guys because and the worst part is.
But that's on you guys. That is not on us.
Well, that's the point that we're trying to make to you.
But I don't put the pressure on anybody. I don't say, hey, I need this,
Wendy,
that, and the other.
But Wendy, you are different. You're much different. You are different, and we've acknowledged that.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
If you're seeing somebody right now, the pressure is on that person that you're seeing to get you something.
If you're
seeing anybody right now, you have just, whether you know it or not, you have just put pressure on him.
Right, and you don't know at what stage, you know, when you're first dating, because everything is a stage, right? And you get to that weird stage where if Valentine's is coming up and you're in the weird stage of you don't want to say too much.
Yeah, you don't want to be
over
the top.
Too little.
That's the thing.
How do I say? All right, I don't because we're just friends or versus I want to get married. What do I do?
That's where the pressure lies because if you just start dating somebody,
we're just friends
in November, December, and Valentine's Day right around the corner, you're in a pressure situation.
Yes, tough one
because you don't know what. First of all. You don't, as a guy, you probably don't feel like your relationship is established enough for you to go in and get flowers or something. Because for us, it's level. Certain gifts are certain levels of
and you don't want to look like a chump. Right.
And you don't. That's what I'm saying. So that's the reality of the situation. It is.
It's a tough spot to be in.
I mean, every year I'm just hoping for a second Thanksgiving around this time and would make this conversation so much easier. Let's just do Thanksgiving twice in a year and we'll do it on February
the
14th.
I'm just being honest with you.
Well,
if you go into a situation thinking you're going to get something you don't, you're going to be hot.
But it's fine. I'm going to be on at Hooters on Valentine's Day because they're giving single people free wings on Valentine's Day if you come into Hooters.
Wendy,
and
you
rip up, and you rip up a picture of your ex. This is happening, and I'm just bringing like 9 photos.
Wendy, you
with
tripping.
Me.
Thank you. That's just terrible.
This will just solve every problem about Valentine's
Day. Where them wings going to be at, though, Wendy?
Hooters ought to be ashamed of themselves.
I don't care.
I think we're going to be there together, yes.
Go. Come on.
Single people go. Single guys go to Hooters. As a
I'm not ripping them no pictures of no women, though.
Yeah. Just ruin it.
Just a random picture of some woman walk in
there. That's why what not? I'll do, John. Thank
why
you.
A lot of headlines. National Signing Day, trade deadline in the NBA's today, and the reaction to Matt Bryant not being a Falcon anymore. What's next for the Atlanta Falcons? Man of mercy. Hey, you want a big, bold moves? Guess what? You got them. Next, with John and you on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.